quickly, verses 34 to 38. But you'll remember, by way of review, we were talking about this chapter last week, and Jesus asked this question, and I would like to ask you this question and ask you to think about it. Who is Jesus Christ to you? Remember, Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And some said, well, you know, you might be Elias. Some people believe you might be Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Elias in the New Testament is the same as Elijah in the Old Testament. But he pressed the issue with them. And he said, but who do you say that I am? And what was Peter's answer? Yeah, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I like the way Matthew wrote it. And Jesus said to Peter, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. And he said, upon thee I will build my house. And it wasn't upon Peter, it was upon his confession. Peter admitted who he believed that Jesus Christ was. We have a lot of people today who claim to know God, right? They may even say, well, you know, I know Jesus, I like Jesus. But in our day and age, who do men say that Jesus is? Remember, Paul said last week, one of the answers that Paul gave was that, well, people think he's a good teacher. What else do people say about Jesus today? He's a prophet. What else? Well, he's our Lord and Savior. That's what we believe. But what does the world outside the walls of the church believe that Jesus is? Just another man, good teacher, prophet. What's that? Friend, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, James, gee, now you make me feel bad. But I thought you were going to build me up tonight, James. I know you're going to tear me down, but just a crutch. Yeah. They do say that. You know, you must be a weak person. You must not be able to handle things, so you need Jesus, but he really can't do anything for you. Differing faiths have differing beliefs, don't they? For example, Christian scientists believe that Jesus is a good teacher, a good man, probably the best of men. Yet they will not ascribe to him that he is the Son of the living God. Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe in Jesus at all. They don't believe in the Trinity of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. If you really want to have fun with the Jehovah's Witness, the next time they show up at your door, ask them this question. When did God die? They can't answer it because they don't believe in Jesus the Son. And then you can get your Bible out and start witnessing to them, and maybe they'll get saved. But different faiths have different beliefs. But even today in the modern church, we have a lot of people today who have cheap grace. In other words, they don't believe that they have to come to God the way God has said you must come. They don't believe that you need to repent of your sin. They believe that I can come any way I want and God has to accept me. After all, someone showed up at my door one time and they told me I needed to believe in Jesus, and so all I had to do was pray this prayer and I was good to go. That's called easy believism. You might have heard it referred to as cheap grace in your day and age, but you need to get up to date with these terms. Cheap grace, easy believism. Easy believism is the devil's greatest lie. It's just pray this prayer, you're good to go, you don't have to change, God will take you just as you are, just go out and do the best you can. Does the Bible teach that? No. And yet a lot of people today are swallowing that kind of Kool-Aid. See, that means that all they do is have a little insurance in time, but they don't have assurance for all time. And so this is a very important question for you to meditate upon, for you to think about. Who is Jesus Christ to you? How many of you have children that are here tonight? How many of you have, your children have children, so you're a grandparent? Look at all this crazy stuff that's going on in our world today. And what it is, it's the denying of the Son of God. It's denying that we don't need Jesus as a Savior through repentance. We can just have a Jesus who will make us comfortable in time, but not secure for eternity. Jesus said something very, very important in Matthew 7:21. He said, many are going to come to me in that day, and they're going to say, Lord, Lord. And he said, away from me, I never knew you. Now, could you imagine showing up in heaven one day at the gate, the pearly gate, and you see Jesus and you cry out, Lord, Lord. And he looks at you and he says, away from me. I never knew you. That'd be horrible, wouldn't it? That would be devastating. And yet there are many people today who are going to church swallowing this Kool-Aid of easy believism, cheap grace, and they're still lost. Paul said in Romans 6:1-2, because grace abounds, should we continue or should we sin? And he says, God forbid. Romans 6:2, how can we who are dead to sin continue any longer therein? Someone had to die in order for you and I to be saved, in order for us to receive grace. Who's the one who had to die? Jesus. Tony, go ahead. Yeah, that's a good question. Let's ask that question. It's a fair question. Because we have to admit that we're a sinner. Is that a work of ours? It's a confession. We can't get to first base with God unless we come God's way. What is the way he has said we are to come? We must confess our sins and place our faith and trust in him. If we don't confess our sin and we don't repent of our sin, no matter how much trust we say we have in him, we have no trust at all. We have no faith in him. Today we have many people who continue to live in sin. One of the greatest mission fields today is in the church, believe it or not. There are a lot of lost people outside, but there are a lot of lost people inside the church because they have bought into this idea of all you need to do is pray this prayer. Listen, there's no magic in the prayer. The prayer has to be prayed from a pure heart, made with confession of heart, and you must turn away from sin. Let me give you an example of this. Before I got in the pastorate, and when I was a Sunday school teacher, one of my students was a girl who was living in sin. And she came and she said, I would like to receive Christ as my Savior. And I said, well, I'll be glad to talk with you about that. Would you sit down and we'll discuss it? And I said, do you understand that you are living in sin? And we took her to the scripture where Jesus met the woman at the well. And she told him she'd had five husbands, or he told her, listen, woman, you've had five husbands, and the one you're with now isn't your husband. In other words, she was in a live-in situation. And that woman at the well, she got saved. Matter of fact, she started a revival because she went back to her village, and she said to everybody, come see a man who told me everything I've ever done. if we would have allowed that young lady to receive Christ without having her deal with her sin and to be able to continue living in that sin without forsaking that sin, she'd still be lost. And I told her, listen, you're going to have to make a choice. If you really want to give your heart to Jesus, he's got to go. That's a hard choice, isn't it? He's got to go. Either you got to move out or he's got to move out, but you can't continue to live together and think that you can receive Christ as Savior. That afternoon, she booted him out, received Christ as Savior, and got baptized. She got her heart right. She didn't continue in sin. That makes sense to everybody? So the gospel requires us to receive Christ to make some hard choices. Now, that doesn't mean we can't fall into sin. We have David as an example of that. David committed some big ones. And we all know what he did with Bathsheba. But when he was confronted by God, he repented of that thing, and he got that thing right. Nowhere else in the Bible did David that same sin again. And what I'm saying to you is that you and I have to make some hard choices in life. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross and do what? The cross is an emblem of sacrifice. And so we need to remember that. So when I ask this question, who is Jesus Christ to you? Just like me, you've got to examine your life. And you're going to have to get out the things that are not bringing glory to God. And that may mean making some hard choices in life. But in order to be following God, you have to make hard choices. We can't condone sin. We can't say, well, that's just my little deal. You know, God allows this. Can't do that. How much sin does it take to put separation between a saved person and God? Just one. And if you're out of fellowship with God, you're going to be out of fellowship in every other relationship in your life. Now let's follow the story real quickly here. Peter made his confession, but yet in just six short verses, I'll use Matthew, because in Matthew, he confesses Christ in Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, and yet in Matthew chapter 16, verse 22, just like he does here, in Mark chapter 8, verse 32, Jesus says, listen, boys, I'm going to the cross. And Peter says, hey, Lord, ain't no way you're going to the cross. I'm not having that. And Jesus turned to Peter, and look what he says here in Matthew 8 and 33. Gwen, would you read that, please? Now, Peter's just a spokesman for the group. So when he turned and looked at the disciples and spoke to Peter, it was Peter who spoke what all the disciples believed. And so he rebuked Peter. You know, Peter had this unique ability to always be the first one to speak up, and he always had this unique ability to stick both of his feet in his mouth at the same time. It's hard to walk when you got both your feet in your mouth. But Peter was quite adept at doing that. But notice where Jesus said Peter was. Peter, get your mind off the things of men. Get out of the world and get your mind on the things of Christ. So it brings me to another question tonight. Examine your life. Are you more in the world or are you more with Christ? Do you have the things of God in mind or do you have the things of you in mind? See, this is where the rubber meets the road in the Christian life, by the way. The Christian life is about choosing what is good and what is best. How many of you would agree with me? There's a lot of good choices we can make in life, amen? But some of those good choices aren't the best choices. This is why we've got to trust in the Lord with all our heart, lean not upon our own understanding, and in all our ways acknowledge Him, because He knows what's best. And so he goes on and he says in Proverbs 3 and 7, be not wise in thy own eyes. But a lot of people today are living with by being wise in their own eyes, thinking they know what's best for them. And so Peter thought he knew what was best. He's the spokesman for all the disciples. He's now, wait a minute here. You're not going to the cross. Why would he say that? Yeah, he thought he would deliver him from the Romans, but how about this? If there's a cross in Jesus' future, there's a cross in their future. And if Jesus is going to suffer and die, that very well means that they're going to have to suffer. How many of you like suffering? Raise your hand. We don't like to suffer, do we? Jesus said in John 16 and 33, in this world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Listen, when God wants you to tribulate, you're going to tribulate. Beyond that, if the faith you claim to have cannot be tested or tried, how do you know you have it? It's easy to claim faith, isn't it? But a faith that is futile in the beginning is going to be faulty in the end. Again, we're talking about the cross. And so he says to these disciples here, get thee behind me. Get your eyes off the world and get your eyes on me. That's basically what he said in Matthew 7:21. Many are going to come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord. And I'm going to say, away from me, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye work iniquity. And he goes on in that verse and he says, those who are going to heaven are those who do my Father's will. We have James 1:22, be doers of the word, not a hearer only, deceiving your own self. So here's an example of what that really means. Let's just say Debbie comes to Sunday school. She goes to Steve's class. Steve teaches a great lesson. She hears it. She knows she's supposed to do something with it. But it just goes right out one ear and out the other. She doesn't do what she knew she was supposed to do. She just heard, deceived her own self, didn't do anything with it. That's what Peter did. That's what the disciples were doing. Well, let's look at verses 34 to 38 because we're going to talk up about this taking up your cross. Oh, let's see. Mike, you want to read those verses tonight? Mark 8:34. Yeah. Thirty-four through 38.
And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever will save his life shall lose it. But whoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed, and when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels.
Now remember last week I said, if you're going to grow in your faith, there's going to be a cost. We talked about time. Time is one element we all have. We all have the same amount of seconds every day. And what we do with our time indicates who we really love and what we really think about. And what's really important to us. And again, the choices aren't between, for most of us, the choices aren't going to be between what is bad and what is good. We all know we're not going to go out and do bad things. So the choices for us is going to be between what is good and what is best. So for an example, let's just say you love gun smoke. I don't know anybody who wouldn't like gun smoke. Let's just say you love gun smoke. So.